Well, folks, good morning on this Wednesday morning. We've had a weekend of remembering, of reflecting, of pondering again on Good Friday of his Christ's death and resurrection, and then on Sunday on his resurrection. And it's a wonderful to know this morning the Gold Hymn Writer said, "I serve a risen Saviour." Well, today we're going to continue this morning just for a few moments around another one of these minor prophets. You'll remember that the minor prophet was known as a minor prophet for one reason and one reason only. It is not that his message is any less important than the major prophet. It's the quantity of his book, not the quality. It's a smaller book. That's the only reason why he's known as minor. The book of Amos. Amos is himself the prophet. If you read anything about his life, you'll see in chapter 1, verse 1, you'll see where he came from, the village in which he would grown up, and the place that was not only his birthplace but his hometown. I think it's pronounced Tekoa, Tekoa. This actually means a camping place. It was located on a hilly ridge which overlooked a frightful desert wilderness that continues down to the very edge of the Dead Sea, located about roughly 6 miles from Bethlehem. Tekoa's only claim to fame was this prophet Amos. I don't think you'll read anywhere else in the Bible about this place and it's associated with this man. Amos was both a herdsman, he looked after animals, and also secondly, he was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. This fruit was similar to a small fig and was only eaten by the very poor of the land. He also describes himself as a pincher of sycamores. That's what else he says, it's a pincher of sycamores. But can I say to you, and simply though, that a pincher of a sycamore would be those who would gather this fruit, would pinch or bruise it, the sluggish lumps of fruit, to make them ripen. So it was a very humble job. It wasn't a thing job for a person of of position, of man and authority. This is a way below him. So what we do find is for Amos, he come from very humble beginnings. And the thing it reminds me is that often God raises up men and women from very humble beginnings. They're not born, dare I say, with a silver spoon in their mouth, but just very, very ordinary people. It takes me right into the New Testament when Paul writes in Corinthians, God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, chosen the weak things to confound the strong, chosen the mighty things and the base things of the world and the things that are despised that God chosen. For what reason? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, this morning, just for a couple of moments, I want to draw your attention to just one verse of Amos chapter 6, or in Amos chapter 6. In verse 1 it says these words and these little thoughts I'm just going to leave with you this morning. Verse 1 of Amos 6, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." What do I gather from this little thought? Number one, I gather the first wee point, just a couple of points today. The first wee thought I want to leave with you is that the privileged people, or the privileged position these people were in, these people dwelt in Zion to whom Amos went to speak. They dwelt in Zion. Where was Zion? Well, Zion was no ordinary city, and those that lived in her were no ordinary people, and the God whom they sacrificed to was no ordinary God. This city became not only the city of David, but it would also become the place when, after David's death, his son Solomon would build a temple, and this temple was to be the place where God himself would be worshipped and none other. It was a place you read about in 2 Chronicles 7. So in this city was the temple of the Lord, but also in this city was the glory of God. The very presence of God could be seen in this place. This is why, when we emphasize the fact that the people of God who dwelt in the city were indeed in a privileged position, they were in this privileged position because God was with them. God was their God. Yahweh, the one and only true God, was their God. Their God. And yet the sad thing was, even though they were in this privileged position, they maybe forgot the privilege that they really had. They forgot how privileged they really were. You know, sometimes I wonder, do we forget how privileged we are as the people of God? We don't dwell in Zion, the city of God, but we dwell in the place where God dwells in us. In fact, that is the reality, that by his Spirit, as we have come to saving faith in Christ Jesus, he has come to, dare I say, dwell in these clay vessels, these clay pots. This outer man is decaying every day, but the inner man, thank God, by the Spirit of God, is being renewed in us. That's what Paul would speak about. This treasure in earthen vessels. I wonder, do we realize just how privileged we are? Paul says in Galatians 3, says that we have been redeemed, that we have, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs in the tree. He has redeemed us, surely, with this great truth. Like Fanny Crosby wrote those beautiful words, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. This morning, if you haven't yet thanked him, may I encourage you today to take a moment to thank him for the privileged position you have, that you are adopted into the family of God, that you are a child of the King, that you are a joint heir with Christ Jesus, and that we, you and I, are an exceptionally privileged people. We might not have all of this world's goods. God indeed could have blessed us with some of this earthly goods, but remember, these things are only temporal. These things are wood, hay and stubble, so we ought not to cling on to them. Remember, the thing that is the most important issue in our lives is that he dwells within us and we are privileged. There was a privileged place that these people, privileged position these people had, but I'm going to say to you secondly, there was the plague problem that God had. And when I say this, you might ask, and right you'd be to wonder in your mind, well, what kind of a problem does God have? Well, my answer is a very frank one. The problem was not with God himself, but with the people that belonged to him. It says God through the prophet Amos, woe to them that are ease in Zion. This prophet doesn't say woe to the atheist or woe to the unconverted, but woe to them that are at ease in Zion. God's problem was that his people had become indifferent, careless, slack where his word, work and honour was concerned. Wonder, as we reflect this morning on his word and we look personally, you know, we're most likely, as you're watching this, you might be watching with your wife or your husband or your children or your parents, but if you dare, I say, be watching this in your own, I wonder, have we become slack concerning where his word, his work and his honour is concerned? Can I suggest a few things what this might mean to be at ease? To be at ease could suggest to us that it's a state of sleep. State of sleep. What the word of God exhorts each and every one of us to do who know and love the Lord is to trust in him with all our heart. Trust in him with all our heart. It would be have to be said that a sleeping bride is a blind bride. She is blind to all that is going on in the world spiritually, and sadly she is blind to the spiritual condition of those who are still without Christ. A sleeping bride. You know, if we are to see God working again in our own land and further afield, then our dependency must be upon the Lord and praying that he will open our eyes from this spiritual sleep, this ease that we might be in. There's a wee modern day hymn and it goes like this: open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see thee. I want to see thee. And surely, folks, how desperately we need God to open the eyes of our heart, because how easy we can be asleep. We can be asleep. We can be at ease. Let me say secondly to you, and I know my time is gone, but It's not only could be this at ease is then, only could it be a state of sleep, but it could also be a state of satisfaction. We have become comfortable. We have become content with where we are in the spiritual journey. Amos 6 and 4 goes on to write that that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves out upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David and drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. See, these men and women that dwelt in Zion, the place where God's house was built, were, and where God's presence was visibly granted, and yet the only people they were interested in was in themselves. They were a people who only thought of themselves. No one else mattered, because their lives were all wrapped up in me, myself, and I. You know, wouldn't it have been awful sad, folks, for us who have been very privileged to be just simply a people who think about us and not about others? How very sad it would be to think, when we think of the millions without Christ and so many in the church, and I don't mean the church, I'm talking about the church generally, don't seem to care at all. I wonder, like the Laodicean in church, does it sum up some of our lives? That we're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Instead of being hot, we're lukewarm spiritually. Instead of giving our best, we're sort of half-hearted. We give the best of our time to our hobbies and the rest of our time to God, instead of the Lord being number one. He just gets the dregs. You say, what's the remedy? Through an honest confession to God, so that we will return to true communion and true total commitment, and to where we begin is at Calvary's cross. I trust these thoughts, these little devotional thoughts, will encourage, challenge you today and me, lest it's read about our lives. Woe to him, woe to her, who are at ease in Zion. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your heart and give you a good day. God bless you.